Hey, let me jump in with you at this time. I'm sure at some point in time, unless you were really well stocked up, you've been to the grocery store over the last couple of weeks. I've had the opportunity to head there. And if you head to the grocery store right now, you've discovered, like I have, that the shelves are pretty sparse. And it has seemed at times that cooking recently has been kind of like an episode of Chopped. It's kind of like, you know, what can I make with chicken feet, a jar of beets, peanut butter cookies, and a frozen pizza, and we buy randomly whatever we can find in there, and we pull it all together to try to get creative and make a meal. And I came in from the grocery store when everything started, and I set some bags on the counter, and my wife came in and she opened the bags to begin to go through them, and she looked at them puzzled, and she was like, what did you buy? What have you bought? And I'm like, I bought what they had. That's all they had. That's what I bought. We'll have to do this. Now that we live in Cold War Russia, we just got to buy whatever we could find. It kind of felt like that for a little bit. But back, I remember a day, and you'll remember it well. There was a time, it was way, way back at the beginning of the month, if you can remember that far, where the grocery stores were like a land flowing with milk and honey. And you would go in, and the paper aisles were full, and all the food was full, and they had everything that we needed in there. And we would go in there, and we would buy what I want. And back in that day, my wife would send me to the store. She would say, "Can you go to the store and get some eggs?" Sure, I can. And off I would go. And I would pull my little Mini Cooper into the parking lot at the Giant, and I would get out and wander in, and I would begin to wander around the grocery store aimlessly. And I would wander around, and I would stop at the deli, and I would get a half a pound of hard salami. And then I'd go over to the olive bar, and I'd fill a little tub with olives. And then I would wander around some more, and I'd see mangoes are on sale, so I would get them. And then I'd go over and I'd get a pineapple maybe that looked good. And I'd head back and wander through, and they'd have black jelly beans. And I love black jelly beans, just like all kind-hearted, loving people do. And I would get a bag of black jelly beans, and I would get some salt and vinegar chips. And I would pick things up randomly as I went around the store, and until I got my arms completely full and I can't carry anything else. And then I would walk up to the checkout line where I would set them down. And the clerk would ask me this question. He or she would say to me, "Did you find everything you need?" And I would look down at my haul and I would declare, "I don't need any of these things." It was like I wouldn't even know why I came into the store. And then the next question would come. If you live in Montgomery, you already know what it is. Would you like a bag? And of course, I would say, no. Because although I'm more than willing to buy random items that I have no need of, I'm not willing to pay 5 cents for a bag. So I would gather all my items up in my arms afterwards and walk out and wander around in the lot to try to find my car. And my car is about this tall, so I don't know where I parked it, and would finally find it and drive home. And then when I would get home, I will walk in, and what do I not have? I don't have the eggs, the very thing that I went to the store for. I forget things. I forget things just like you forget things. I don't remember things that I need to know or that I should do along the way in my life. And that happens to all of us. In the Bible, there's a story where we're told where the disciples forgot something. Easter is soon coming in just a couple of weeks. We'll celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. We recognize it even now. As we recognize that resurrection, and we look back, I think of when Jesus originally resurrected, that first Easter Sunday. When Jesus was headed to the cross, he had told his disciples many times that he was going to be crucified, and then on the third day, he was going to rise from the grave. Now, everybody knew that. Everybody knew that Jesus had said he was going to rise on the third day. People who didn't believe in Jesus knew he was going to rise on the third day. The Pharisees knew that Jesus had said that. In fact, the reason there were guards at the entrance of the tomb was because the Pharisees had gone to the Romans and said, "This guy said he was going to rise on the third day. And we're scared his disciples are going to come and take the body and say he rose." So they sealed it and they guarded it because everyone knew that Jesus was going to rise from the dead. But when the third day came, where were the disciples? At the tomb? No. They were hiding. They were hiding in a room for fear of the Jews, those that had come against them, the Pharisees, the leaders at that time. You would think that if Jesus had said he was going to rise on the third day, and you had seen all the miracles that Jesus had done, you would think that on the third day, you would be sitting right outside of the tomb. But they weren't there. It would be the most logical place to be. Why wouldn't I be there just waiting for the resurrection, believing that he was going to do what he said? Instead, even when they heard about it, they doubted if it was even true. They were unsure what had gone on to begin this. And this happened with his followers at that time. It seems crazy to even think about, to think, how do you forget something so powerful? How do you forget something so life-changing in your life? And I want to tell you, I believe that life can shake you up so hard and so difficult at times that you forget even important things, things that you know that are true, things that matter most. So I want to remind you of some key truths today, some key things that you need to know. And you already know them most likely. You've probably heard them many times. But in the midst of a pandemic with all that is going on, they might be some things that you've forgotten, and we want to make sure we remember and hold on to them in this season. And the first one is this. I want you to remember that God has a plan. God always has a plan. God has had a plan from the beginning of creation. God has never been haphazard in how he has operated. God has a plan. Jeremiah 29:11 tells us this. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Hey, at home, this is a good place for you to say amen right now to whoever's in the room with you. Come on, God has a plan. Now here's the thing. Anybody can say what Jeremiah did when things are good. Anybody could say that verse when the economy is booming, when unemployment is low, when interest rates were low, when everything looked great. Anybody can talk about prosperous things when everything looks good, but that's not when Jeremiah said it. It was nothing like that when Jeremiah said this. In fact, Jeremiah said it to a nation that was being hauled off into captivity. Jeremiah spoke this verse to a people who were being taken to Babylon in exile. Jeremiah said this to kids who had just been taken out of their schools and weren't going to finish their school year. Jeremiah said this to people who just lost their businesses and lost their jobs and their whole lives had been disrupted. Jeremiah said this to a people that everything had just been yanked out from under them and all was lost. And it is in that situation that he would come and say, hey, I've got a word from the Lord. And the word is this, God wants you to know, I know the plans I have for you. And those plans were to prosper and not to harm them and to give them a hope and a future. That's still God's plan for his children. Always has been, always will be. Our situation isn't exactly like theirs, but some of you have been laid off already. A student watching this already is out of school, already has had their school year disrupted. College students are home. Elementary, middle, and high school students are home now. Parents are struggling to teach their students. I did hear that spankings have now returned to the classroom in school. I don't know if that's true at your house or not, but try to keep your head level as you're trying to teach your own child there. But things are different altogether in our season, of course. And in all of that, it is so important in an age of uncertainty that we remember that God still has a plan. God hasn't been caught off guard. God's not trying to figure out what to do. God isn't reacting to things. We react to things. God isn't reacting. God never reacts to anything. God has never reacted to anything in the history of time. All God does is act because God knows the end from the beginning. God never has to respond to what goes on. He already knows what's going to go on. Remember that. It's a promise to hold on to at this time. God didn't wing it with creation. God had a plan for yours and my salvation from the foundation of the earth, the Bible tells us. God had a plan for your life before your days even began. He wrote of your days in his book before they began. God formed us in our mother's womb. Bethany was just up here. It wasn't a hernia. That was a baby. You saw that. Yeah. God is forming the baby within that mother's womb that she has there. The world is not in chaos to God. The nations have not been left to chance. Your life is not random. God has a plan. Hold on to that promise in this season. Let me give you something else that you'll need in this that I want you to remember in the season we're in as well. And that is this. You have what you need. You have what you need. 2 Peter 1:3 tells us this. His divine power has given us everything. Come on, at home, say everything. Everything that we need for a godly life through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. That's 2 Peter 1:3. These are days of uncertainty. I know that just as you do. But there is no uncertainty with regard to who our God is. There is no uncertainty with regard to the promises of God. And there is no uncertainty with regard to who you are in Christ if you're His child. Now, if you're watching this and you're not His child, you need to become His child. You need to invite Jesus to come into your heart and be the Lord of your life and ask God to forgive you of all your sins and trust Him with your life. And once you're His child, there's no uncertainty as to who you are. In fact, the Bible says that God writes our names on the palm of His hand. God knows who His children are. God knows who are His. We hold on to that. And then the Bible tells us this there, that God has given us everything we need to live a godly life. A lot of people are getting a break right now. Not everyone. I know here at the church, it's been busier than normal. And some folks are busier than normal in this season. And that happens for some as well. But although some people are home and school is off and things like that, I will tell you who's not taking a break. Of course, God isn't taking a break, but somebody else isn't taking a break. And that's the adversary of our souls. The Bible tells us that the devil is roaming around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Let me tell you what, the devil's not on furlough. He has not been canceled, and his efforts to try to pull us away from Christ are as real now as they have ever been. And we know that to be true. It is just as important to be vigilant in this day as it has ever been. In fact, perhaps even more, because Christianity and isolation do not go well with each other at all. God adopted us into a family. That's why connection is so important in this season. But I want to assure you of this. I want to assure you that you have what it takes to live this life. You are anointed by God, John tells us. God has given us, Peter tells us, inspired by the Holy Spirit, everything we need for life and godliness. Even in this season, under this circumstance, you have what you need to live for Him and to follow Him. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, come on, lives in you. Remember that. Hold on to that. I want to encourage you that if you find yourself feeling like you can't take this right now, if you find fear trying to grip your heart, if you find anxiety trying to come in along the way, I want to encourage you to stir yourself up in the Lord. I want to encourage you to encourage yourself in the Lord. That's what David did when he lost everything. A time happened with David where he lost it all. He lost his job. He lost the contract. He had a mercenary army that employed all of those men. All of his employees lost their jobs. David lost his home. David lost his family. They were kidnapped. David lost everything. And in that season, when David lost it all, the Bible tells us that he encouraged himself in the Lord. How did he do that? Come on, you know he reminded himself of what he knew was true about his God. He stayed in a place of worship and trusting in Him and walked by faith. I want to encourage you to do that as well. And if you ever think, well, Pastor, I don't know if I can do this all by myself in isolation, I want to tell you two things. You say, man, how could I do that alone? Two things. If you think you can't do it alone, my first thing to you would be this. Don't. Don't do it alone. Come on, you have a phone. Call somebody. Talk to somebody, text somebody, reach out to somebody. People are still out there. We can. What was the old phone campaign? Reach out and touch somebody. Don't touch them physically right now. Keep the social distances. But on the phone, you reach out and touch them is what we do. Don't do it alone. And then I want to encourage you to encourage yourself in the Lord. That is so important there as well. God has given you everything you need to live for Him in this season and in every season. And then let me give you one last thing today. Hang with me here. One last thing. And that is this. I'm just going to title this point this, Such a Time as This. And if you know the Bible, you already know where that's coming from. The Bible tells us a story of a young woman who was chosen to be the new king of Persia. Everything about her life, her circumstances changed. For her, of course, it was kind of for the better, if you will, at least in the natural. But what can't be missed is how God shifted her position in that moment. God positioned her where he wanted her to be in that season. And God has done this again and again throughout history. He'll continue to do it. He positions people in the right place at the right time. When Ruth is in the field picking up grain, leftover grain that had been dropped, and Boaz comes along by that field and sees her, Ruth is in the right place at the right time. When David is bringing cheese and bread to his brothers who are in the army, and right as David approaches, Goliath comes out, David is in the right place at the right time. Even when Joseph is thrown into the pit and the caravan comes by at that time so he can be sold to them, Joseph was still in the right place at the right time. God had him where he wanted him to be when he wanted him to be there. Acts 17:26 tells us that God chose our times and our seasons. We hold on to that promise. And when Mordecai came to Esther to warn her of the impending genocide on God's people, that's where we find that profound statement. Esther 4:14, it says this, "Yet who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this." Church, right now, you're listening to me at home, wherever you are, church, it's our time. We are in the right place at the right time, in the right season. You live now because God wanted you to live right now. You live where you live because it's where God wanted you to live. We are here in this whole era of time because God chose it before our days began. We are in the right place. This is our time. And that means it's time for intercessors to rise up and to pray. It means it is time for givers to rise up and to give. It's time for those with the gift of hospitality to exercise their gift of hospitality. It's time for encouragers to be encouragers. It's not time to shrink back. It's time to be the church. It's time for the church to be the church. Daniel 2:21 tells us this: "He controls the course of world events. He removes kings and sets up other kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to the scholars." My prayer for the church in this season is for God-given wisdom to be given to believers in this day. See, here's the thing. The gifts of the Spirit that were given to you, the gifts that God, the Bible tells us to each one is given, the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good, you still have it. It didn't change because there was a pandemic. The gifts of God are without repentance. So the gifts that God gave me, I still have them under the quarantine. I still have them under house arrest, if you will. Nothing changes about how God has gifted you. And the church needs you to operate in your giftings and in your callings now as much, if not more, than ever before. Be who God has called you and equipped you to be in this season. When I see people making hospital masks at home, when I see people checking in on their neighbors and one another, when I see people delivering groceries, sharing toilet paper, having online conference call, prayer times, that's the church. That's the church. We might not be at church, but that's being the church. Yet who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this. Children are going to learn about these days 100 years from now in school, should Jesus tarry in his return. 100 years from now, kids will learn about 2020 in their classrooms. University courses are going to be taught about what we're living through right now. It will show up in training for different fields and things like that. That's going to come. Books will be written about 2020. Movies and TV shows will be made about 2020. We are living through one of the most radical times of history that has ever taken place, and we're walking right through it. And God positioned us. When God formed the world, God said, in this unique day, God said, I'm going to drop you right there in that day. It's our time. It's our time. God chose now, and we might have to be the church differently now than we were a month ago. And maybe we'll still have to be the church differently a month from now. I don't know yet. It's a fluid situation. We know that. but you're still the light of the world. That's what Jesus said about you. That's not different now than it was a month ago. You're still the light of the world. You're still anointed by the Holy One. You still have the same gifts and the same callings. You still have the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Put a star on my board. I went to Sunday school. I remembered them all, Andre. Come on. The fruit of the Spirit is still at work in your life in this season. It never changed. It never changed. Let me close with this. Iris, I think I gave you some things to bring to me. If you come to my office, I have things from all around the world. All around the world. I'm trusting that Iris washed her hands or used SSA hand sanitizer. If you come to my office, there's things from all around the world. I've been very fortunate that God has opened doors to create ways for me to travel to many different nations and all around this nation. And like you, when you travel, often I'll bring a little something back. And this giraffe here, he came back with me from Zambia, if I'm not mistaken. In fact, I'm sure that's where he came from. He came back from Zambia. Pinocchio came back from Italy. I got to admit, I didn't even know. I know the name sounds Italian. Somehow I didn't even know Pinocchio was Italian until I went to Italy. But anyway, that's where I got him. Turns out he really is. This little teacup came from India. This larger cup here, it came from Thailand when we were there. And I have so many other things in my office. These things on my shelves, they remind me of things in the past. They help me to remember things that have happened along the way. And that's what we're doing today. We're remembering what we know. We're remembering what we know. I read of that time where the disciples were so shaken, it seems like they forgot. Maybe you've forgotten. Would you remember today? God has a plan. Remember today. Remember in this season that you have what you need to live this life. And remember that this is your time. This is your time. This is your time to walk in your gifts and your callings. You don't want to forget that. Let's trust Him. Let's be the church. Would you pray with me? Then I want to remind you of something after we pray before we close. But let's agree together for these things. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we thank You. We thank You, Lord God, that You know the plans You have for us. The Bible tells us that You think so much about us that you think more thoughts toward us than there are grains of sand on the seashore. That's what the Bible tells us. And You think good thoughts toward us. You know the thoughts You think toward us. You think things to prosper and not harm us and to give us a hope and a future. We remember that today, Lord God. We remember as well, Lord God, that You chose our time, that we live now, Lord God, and that You have what we need to live this life. We remember that. And we remember, Lord God, we remember that it's our day to walk in our gifts, to walk in our callings, to be the church. We remember it with thanks. And God, I pray right now a prayer of anointing. I pray a prayer of encouragement. I pray a prayer of supernatural strength and wisdom. Would You give the church wisdom to walk in this day, Lord God? We've got to live our lives out differently than we have before. Would You give us wisdom? You said in Daniel that that's what You do. You give wisdom as it is needed, Lord God. You say in James that if anybody lacks it, let him ask of God who gives to all liberally. Grant it to us in this day, we pray. We thank You for it. In the strong name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. Hey, let me say this before you turn off. Stay with me for a second longer. We've had opportunity this week to be a great blessing to our community. Many of you have already seen or the video we shared. We did 100 on one afternoon, but it's been well over 100 families that we've been able to provide with toilet paper and some other needs throughout this week. It's been a big need in our community. In fact, while we were in this service, a truckload of food was brought to the church for us to help folks in need. If right now you're lacking, you've lost income or anything like that, we want you to reach out to us. We won't know who that is, and I don't want you to feel bad about it. This is not that time. time. This is a time for us, as in the book of Acts. We read in the book of Acts that in the church, no one had need of anything because everyone had all things in common. They shared with each other and they looked out for each other. We want to make sure we're looking out for each other in this season and be the church. So make sure you communicate with us as well. We want to get that to folks who need it in this time. I wanted to make you aware of that. And then just a final thing, a final announcement. Talked about remembering what's important today. Good Friday is coming soon. I'll let you know that we're still going to be having communion on Good Friday. We're going to have a special Good Friday service. You still have time to prepare for that. I want to encourage you, make sure you've got some type of bread. Don't get hung up on what kind it is in this season, all right? If you get the real matzah, wonderful, but if not, whatever you have. Get some kind of bread or cracker that you have with you. If you get grape juice, great. If you don't, whatever juice you come up with, use water if you need to. But get the elements together that you need for communion so that on Good Friday, when we partake of communion, we can all partake of it together. And you'll have it right there in your home or wherever you're at. But we'll still proclaim the Lord's death until he comes, as he's called us to do. And we want to make sure we worship in that way. God bless you. Live victoriously in Christ Jesus this week. And hey, make sure you check up on one another. Amen. Bye-bye.